once one of Asia's richest countries, Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, has been ruled by a ruthless military dictatorship for almost 50 years and is now one of the continent's poorest nations. The generals in the army in Myanmar suppress almost all dissent and have been accused of gross human rights violations, including the widespread use of forced labour, often involving children. The ruling junta has scheduled multi-party elections for some time in 2010. However, the planned poll has been widely dismissed by critics and opposition figures as a sham to create a facade of civilian rule and democracy. Irish priest Father Sean McDonough is a well-known environmental campaigner and author who's just returned from a two-month tour of Asia that included a visit to Myanmar. He spoke to me about his impressions.
Well, I travelled, I travelled into Rangoon and then up to the tribal areas of the Kachin and the Shan. There would be tribal peoples on the north of Mandalay. Well, of course, Burma has been in the grip of a brutal dictatorship since 1962 when the General Ne Win took over. And it's a tragic country because in the 19th century it was one of the richest countries in Asia. One of the reasons for building the Suez Canal was to bring Burma rice to Europe. And here it is now, hardly able to feed itself. You've had huge social pressures, of course. People don't trust each other. There's a complete breakdown in trust. The army has structured everything so that it can control, even the universities, for example. You won't get the various faculties in a campus together because in the thinking of the army, they're warp thinking that there would be too much possibilities for people coming together, maybe planned sedition as they see it. So everything is divided. Everyone is set against everyone else. There's huge corruption, of course, and that's also very evident, and people are very upset about that kind of thing. I'm also looking at, of course, the impoverishment level and the environmental destruction. I mean, Burma was a very rich country environmentally, biodiversity-wise, one of the most richest countries in Asia. In the last 10 or 15 years, you've seen its teak forests has been just torn apart and shipped over the border into China. The same is true of its jade. And now there are real problems up around the border area on some of the rivers. Some of the tributaries of the Irrawaddy, that the Chinese want to build huge power stations, not to bring power to Burma, but to bring the power back over the Chinese border. And, of course, it's one of the reasons why the Burmese military are not in any way responsive to the negative critique of outside countries, because they know they have the support of the Chinese. And basically, that's why they continue. For example, they're supposedly running an election in the autumn, a general election. But they made sure that the party of Aung San Suu Kyi, that people have a way, the human spirit is quite resilient. So they were talking about the general election, you see, and if within a day or two, the people were saying, no, the general's election.
One of the aspects of Burma, I read recently that Burma has the highest number of child soldiers in the world and that this number is growing. Did you see very clear evidence of how children were being used as labourers in all sorts of ways?
Oh, yes, I did, yeah. But not so much as the child soldiers, but yes, children are being used and being used in many of the areas in which I went. It was very obviously very clear, yeah. And people are very critical of that, but people are not directly critical of the military because they're very fearful. They realize what happened to the Buddhist monks uprising in 2007. It was just brutally put down and very violently put down. And people whom I know, for example, some of my own colleagues who would have worked in Latin America during like dictatorship like Pinochet, comparing it to the dictatorship in Burma, they would say the dictatorship of Pinochet was mild. The kind of ruthlessness that is at the heart of what's happening in Burma, and it's very tragic.
You say that people are very frightened. Is that because that everybody is spying on everybody else? Did they sort of talk at all about this? Did they talk at all about the opposition, or were they simply too frightened to do that with you?
Well, it depends where you are, and like in some of the areas, for reason, even in the Catholic community, they were not able to put me up in the local parish or the local bishop's house. It depended what kind of relationship with the local military there. And so in some situations, you had to stay in a hotel. But everyone is concerned about other people in the group that would be spying for the military, yes. And the military very much in control. And, of course, coming up to the election now, the control levels will increase. There will be pretending in some ways to make available like more food, etc., to get obviously a favourable result. But the controls will increase. Maybe again after the election, they'll minimise a certain amount.
So coming back to Burma and the deforestation,
yes.
I mean, you said that China was the country mainly buying this timber, but are there Western countries also that are dealing with Burma or, you know, despite the sanctions?
Well, not that I saw very much. I saw the Chinese presence very, very strong on both sides. Like, they were moving a lot of natural resources from Myanmar, Burma, into China. And one of the big changes that had taken place in the last, say, 6 years, according to my informants, was Burma was basically a bicycle country, and Rangoon was a bicycle country. But now, in exchange for the monies that's made exporting its natural resources, a flotilla of motorcycles are coming in to almost all the cities. And, of course, people are not used to the rules of the road, so they're causing bits of havoc. So that's another example, I suppose, of a country that is now beginning to see some ways of development by going down the petrochemical avenue, and that's probably not great either.
Is there any particularly memorable anecdote that you can share with us from your trip that somehow exemplifies or sums up the plight of the Burmese people, its environmental devastation, the lack of democracy there, whatever?
Well, I suppose no, but I was brought to places by both bishops and priests and sisters there. And I suppose the one place that I was very poignantly affected by, because a Columban priest set up a catechetical centre not too far from Michina back in the 1940s, now this whole area is going to be inundated by a whole structure of dams to actually build this hydroelectric scheme. And so I could still see the house and the catechetical centre that this person had, and I won't name the person who was with me, but just to think of all that work, the people who worked around there, and suddenly it's going to be completely wiped out. And the worst thing about it is the people who are going to build the dam are not even Burmese themselves. They're going to actually bring Chinese workers across the border, build a dam, and then use the water, obviously, behind the dam for energy in China.
I was speaking to Father Sean McDonough about his recent trip to Myanmar or Burma.